They'll just need to squeeze together.
Okay, told you. Glad I took a shower.
Me too.
I wish you guys had.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for May 24th, 2016. The time right now is 7:01 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, and Scarborough.
Thank you. And without objection, I would like to make an adjustment under announcements and presentations so that the two proclamations come first and then the presentation from Economic Alliance will come third. Are there any objections? Okay. Also, earlier this evening, I received word from Councilmember Gamble advising me that he would be about 5 to 10 minutes late, so we expect him. And also, Councilmember Cutaback is out tonight, and we'll consider her excused without objection. All right. Okay, so we do have one item that we're reading on tonight for Memorial Day 2016. We have Mr. Dean here from the American Legion. I've asked him to, if he'd be willing to lead us in the pledge, and so he's going to come up to the podium and lead us in the pledge. Thank you, Mr. Dean.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you. So we're going to go ahead and move on to announcements and presentations, and as stated earlier, we're going to take proclamation number 2 first, and this is a proclamation from Memorial Day that Mr. Dean is here to receive. Thank you, sir. So proclamation, Memorial Day, May 30th, 2016. Whereas on Memorial Day we pause to honor the fallen heroes who died in service to our nation, with heavy hearts and a sense of profound gratitude, we mourn these men and women who believed so deeply in what our country could be that they were willing to give their lives to protect its promise in the spirit, and their spirit gives us strength to continue their work of securing and renewing the liberties that all Americans cherish and for which these heroes gave their last full measure of devotion. And whereas in solemn reflection, we gather to remember the unbroken chain of patriots who won independence, saved our union, and protected the nation we love from emerging threats in a changing world. Today, their legacy is carried forward by a new generation of servicemen and women and all who strive to shape a more perfect America, and their enormous sacrifices continue to make our opportunity possible. And whereas we owe all those who sacrifice in our name a tremendous debt, including our nation's mothers and fathers who have given their daughters and sons to America, spouses and partners who shoulder the weight of unthinkable loss, and courageous children in whom their legacies of their parents live on. We have pledged to them that they will never walk alone, that their country will be there for them always, and we must work every day to make good on this promise. And whereas our nation will never forget the valor and distinction of the men and women who defend freedom, justice, and peace, today we rededicate ourselves to commitments equal to the caliber of those who have rendered the highest service, to support our troops with the resources they need to do their jobs, to never stop searching for those who have gone missing or are prisoners of war, and to continue our constant work of building a nation worthy of the heroes that we honor today. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby recognize Monday, May 30th, 2016, as Memorial Day, and encourage the residents of Monroe to remember those who sacrificed their lives and who go ahead of us to defend America and pray for permanent peace. So Mr. Dean, will you please come forward? Council, will you please join me down below? Mr. Dean, come over here. On behalf of a very grateful community and a very grateful nation, thank you. And for all of those who you serve with, for everything you have done for us.
Thank you very much for the recognition.
Thank you, sir. And he has just left. Staff was going to update council, and they'll update council a little bit later, but we've got everybody here. We are doing a groundbreaking ceremony this Thursday, a week from this Thursday, for our new Veterans Memorial. That'll be on June 2nd at 4:30 at Lake Tai Park. The American Legion is leading that effort. The reason why we're doing it is because two teachers at Park Place Middle School had noticed that the old memorial that was over at Memorial Field was in disrepair. They did biographies on the servicemen that were supposed to be or that were listed on that memorial, and I attended that last year with a number of council members and many other people in the community. Because of the research they did, the American Legion is doing a new memorial at Lake Tai Park, and it's something we're looking forward to. It, again, will be June 2nd at 4:30 at Lake Tai Park. Everybody's invited. So, thank you. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to move on to the next proclamation that we have. So this is a proclamation, 12th Annual Traditional Powwow, whereas the Monroe, Snohomish, and Sultan Public Schools Skykomish Valley Indian Education Program is a federally funded program that focuses on academic support and cultural activities. And whereas the program serves Native American, Alaska Native students preschool through high school age in Monroe, Snohomish, and Sultan public schools, and whereas it is valuable that residents of the city of Monroe be aware of the importance of the Native American, Alaska Native education programs, and whereas the Monroe, Snohomish, and Sultan public schools Skykomish Valley Indian education program supporting nonprofit parent organization are sponsoring a unique ceremony on Saturday, May 28th, 2016, entitled 12th Annual Traditional Powwow. And whereas partnership, awareness, and cooperation are important themes of the traditional powwow, now therefore I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby thank the Skykomish Valley Indian Education Program and encourage the residents and businesses in Monroe to participate in the 12th Annual Traditional Powwow on Saturday, May 28th. So, Ms. Miller, please come forward with your students. Council, please join me down below.
These students keep getting bigger every year.
No.
I remember their faces.
Would you like to introduce your students?
Yeah, would you like to? We actually encourage them to introduce themselves.
Yes.
So,
I am My name is Jackson, and I am from the Suquamish tribe.
These students that are here tonight are some of the students who really do a lot with the program, including community service and reading program, math support, and cultural programs. And then, our parents are really important. I hate to leave them out, so thank you to all our parents, our drum teacher, Craig Young. Do you want to say a couple?
Well, we'd like to invite everybody to come to the powwow, your family, your friends, relatives, neighbors. We have a lot of vets that come, and we do an honoring for the veterans, so if you know any veterans, And we have a memorial wall where you can put pictures up, and we have a place where you can put the flags that the veterans that have passed on are given. They can put them on the flagpole, and then their relatives can get up and speak about their service. This program serves at the present about 120 kids representing about 40 sovereign nations. So we really commend the city of Monroe for offering year after year to support this powwow, and it's a place where nations, people from all over the country can come and dance and pray and eat and meet new people and meet residents of Monroe. So we'd sure like for all of you to come. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for being
here. Thank you.
This is the proclamation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There's free food also, buffalo stew.
Okay, and please let the record show that Councilmember Gamble entered chambers at about 7:08 during the reading of the proclamation. So, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, the next item that we have on the agenda, we've taken things a little bit out of order under announcements and presentations, Councilmember Gamble, is the presentation from Economic Alliance. So, Mr. Pierce.
Thank you for taking care of us. I appreciate that. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for having Shannon and I here this evening. This is not our introductory seminar, but it's a good overview. But a good introduction to all of you. I know I've met a few of you, but I don't know all of you, so thank you for the introduction. And really just thank you for your support of our organization and our mission and what we're doing here. Really just looking forward to growing the partnership and all that we do together. So we'll run through this here, give you a little history about how our organization came together, some of the business lines that we do, cover a few of our achievements, and then you can talk about getting the most out of your investment, maybe targeted a little bit more to our businesses, but I think there's a lot of relevant information for the city as well. So a little bit about our organization, just quickly. We were formed just a little over 5 years ago. We merged the Everett Area Chamber, South County Chamber, and the EDC together to create one organization, a model similar to those in Spokane and other communities around the country. And really looking to, the goal of this is really have one voice for Snohomish County and really make sure that we're in alignment in terms of where we're going, in terms of growing and developing assets that then we can grow and attract and maintain businesses throughout Snohomish County here, and really to create the vibrant communities that we all want, and creating that virtuous cycle. So attracting businesses, growing jobs, that creates taxes. That means that cities and counties and other governments can invest back into the community, those services, make more vibrant communities, help attract talent, help attract more businesses, and it all works together if we do this correctly. So that gets to our mission here, to be a catalyst for economic vitality. Really what we try to be, I think some of our, we've got, being the combination of the EDC and the chambers, we take on the role of, again, that business recruitment and attraction. So really trying to grow the pie is the way I like to think about it, by focusing on traded industries. So those industries that do a lot of export growth. Obviously we have a huge aerospace sector in Bothell here. We've got the medical device sector as well, and just some of our advanced manufacturing. So that's new dollars that come into the community. And then from more of our chamber function, really look at ways that we can help provide through networking opportunities, through our business counseling resources and other ways for then our local businesses to then be able to compete for those dollars within the community. But you can only, if you grow the pie, then there's more opportunity for business creation within the community to compete for those dollars. And again, having that one voice to make sure that, frankly, we've got plenty of other competition out there with throughout the region, throughout the state, throughout the nation, and frankly, internationally. We need to, as Snohomish County, work together with one voice to make sure that we're doing all we can to compete on that, and last thing we need to do is be competing. Well, I guess a co-opetition is always good within the county, but we don't need to be competing in a detrimental way against each other within Snohomish County. So this gets to that kind of the virtuous cycle piece I talked about here. You know, the workforce infrastructure, and the quality of life, a good business climate. You know, we really come together and, again, be that convener, be that catalyst to be able to help create the strategies that then which let us go on and attract the companies, attract, you know, education assets, broadband, and other transportation infrastructure and pieces that we need, as well as companies. So that goes into our strategic goals succinctly. So market the region, make sure that the world knows about us and knows about all the great things we have. That leads to attracting new investment and new dollars, improving the quality of place that we have here, which is something we all want. You know, a lot of work responding to employer needs about workforce issues. We have a regional STEM network partnered with Washington STEM in the county, really trying to bring together industry and education all the way from pre-K to higher education, to make sure that, you know, oftentimes the educators are saying we want more engagement with industry. Industry is saying we want to get more kids in and make sure we have the workforce and can mentor them. But there's not always that facilitation and that connection there that happens. So we're really trying to take a meaningful attempt with the STEM network to help facilitate and connect those dots there and figure out the ways that we can get more internships, more exposure, and really figure out what the businesses want, what the school districts can do, and how we connect the two together. And then connecting our regional leaders. So we do that through a number of events, even our board meetings, other committee meetings. You know, we have a big county. It's small and it can be intimate, but making sure that we have chances for all of our leaders, both public and private, to be able to connect together and really work together and understand how they can partner. And oftentimes, as busy as we all are, we don't have that opportunity to do that. So if we can be that forum to be able to do that, I think that's one of our advantages. Doing things like this, by connecting this way, coming out and engaging the community, hearing what your issues are, hearing how we can work together, and really just finding ways to make Snohomish County a better place. I would add, before I go into here, just from us, we're really specifically a private-public partnership, and I put the private first because even our public members, many of them in the founding of this, want to make sure that we have a private sector voice and we're a private sector organization. We have public sector members like the city of Monroe and others at the table, and most of the cities are members. But that's really too because we understand there's got to be that relationship, and economic development requires public and private coming together oftentimes, but we want to make sure that that is led from a private sector perspective and a private sector voice. So our three business lines, I'll cover the first two, and I'll let Shannon talk about the Connect piece, because that's where she spends a lot of her time, is the Advocate piece. Some opportunities where we've had a chance to work together. So we work closely with SCIT, the Snohomish County Committee for Improved Transportation. Really, I think a success of ours was around the transportation package. You know, when the first package was discussed, there was about $70 million or so in there for Snohomish County, which is absolutely crazy. I mean, we're an economic engine for the state and the nation here, third largest county in the state, and, you know, we're getting $70 million out of a multi-billion-dollar package. We told them it's crazy. We developed the idea of the North Puget Sound Manufacturing Corridor, really stretching from US 2, 522, and I-5 all the way up to Arlington and Highway 9, and really looking at where we didn't have a 167 project like they did down in Pierce and King County, and we didn't have a 520 bridge, big mega projects. We said, we've got a series of projects here that are all about making this economic engine, this advanced manufacturing economic engine, work in Snohomish County, and being able to pull that together and work with our cities and work with our companies to figure out what's that prioritized list that then we can go advocate for. And we were successful in getting that to around $700 million, so about a 10-time increase of funding between where we started and where we ended up with the final package. And we've been successful with other things around higher education, bringing WSU, I mean, all these things, I would say, our partnerships. When I say we, it really is us maybe being the convener, but there's oftentimes many, many, many other partners at the table. So we only take credit in the sense that we're kind of taking credit for all of us and saying we as a county have all done this. So always like to be clear there. The development piece, again, working to attract companies, both around our global aerospace, our presence there, and being able to attract companies around the great asset we have in Boeing and the supply chain, and finding ways to grow and protect that, but also looking at we can't have all of our eggs in the same basket, and we need to make sure that we diversify. We don't want to be in Detroit someday and find, if there was ever a shock that happened to the aerospace industry that, we didn't have the diversification, the diverse economy to be able to weather that storm. So really looking at how we can take great assets like aerospace, like composites, the investment in the Composites Wing Center, well, that gives us a leg up in composites, and that's a technology that then we can use to spin off and diversify around the economy around that. Looking at ways in the medical device industry and the healthcare industry, those are other assets. We should be building upon that and finding ways to really leverage that to get new industries, new innovation here in Snohomish County. We really can't rest on just what we have today. We have always got to be pushing forward and seeing what's out there for tomorrow. Anything? We talked about those pieces. I'd say another piece is our legislative agenda on the advocacy. We've worked together with Snohomish County cities, Snohomish County, the Port of Everett, and then SCIT on creating a unified legislative agenda for Snohomish County, which really helps us when we go down there. We've had very successful events in Olympia. We'll get 70 or so public and private folks from the county down there to talk to our legislators and then make sure that both they see that we're there. We also have, they understand that when they're advocating for things on that list, that they've got the backing of the public and private sectors within Snohomish County, that we've all come together and agreed upon these as our priorities, and they've been in the areas of education, infrastructure, business climate, and also some of the human service elements around the homeless population have been things that have come together, because we see that as something really important to all of our communities, and a piece that's it's not just an Everett problem, it's not just a Limerick problem, it's really something that all of our communities are seeing. And if you want to have those vibrant communities that we want, we've got to make sure that we're getting those services and needs, and helping to clean up our street in a way that's sustainable. Development, again, I talked about that that piece there, and we're happy to talk more offline and get more engaged on in ways that we can help support your economic development goals. I think the mayor and I have talked about before, and I think we had a similar vision. I was very happy to find I've seen Monroe. I think of Monroe as a kind of maybe like in Issaquah as an example, in that you've got all these transportation infrastructure and these connections to other employment centers, and you've got a real opportunity here with both the connections to the east side and Redmond. You've got the 522. That's a straight shot to Seattle there. You've got US-2 to Everett. How do you then leverage those opportunities here within Snohomish County and within Monroe to help drive your economic development here? And you're really, I think, primed for a good spot here for more growth. So that's something I think is exciting, and looking for ways to kind of leverage that. Now with that, I will hand it over to Shannon to talk about some of the connection pieces we do.
I know most of you know me already, and I met several of you when you came out to go on the tour, so I thank you for having us tonight. Connecting with regard to the Economic Alliance, of course, we're just providing opportunity. It's really one of the largest things, I think, to really highlight here is just that we want to give you the opportunity if you have time to do it. So we're trying to build those bridges, no pun intended, but we're trying to reach out to the community and make those introductions. That's what I do all day, is try to connect people and connect other organizations so that they, a lot of times and often I hear people say, oh, I've never even heard of that. And so that's something that I think is just real strategic for us. That really sums up for me what the organization is and what I do during the day. We really want to align business sectors. So one of the things that I do as part of the Economic Alliance is to help build segmentation. So just exactly what Patrick was talking about, we want to do that within our organization too, so that it's not just aerospace. We're working on building and bringing in other businesses so that you have that recognition with them as well as they with you. So, we look at facilitating all of that professional advice too. So when you are a business and you come to the Economic Alliance and you're looking for help, if you need, SBA or you're looking to have some sort of you know, structure to what you're planning with your business, we can help you get to those people. So us, we have other organizations within our doors, the PTAC organization, if you're familiar with that, it's government contracts, so there's free advice if you want to approach your business to a government contract. There's SBTRC, which is Small Business Transportation Resource Center, which is also within our office. So there's all sorts of opportunity for business, and we can, and that's exactly what the EASC wants to do, is we want to be that catalyst, and so there's all sorts of opportunity within our doors as well as people that we can introduce you to. So while that might not be necessarily what you're looking for as a city, but you, certainly the businesses in your community are. So, and I'm not sure how to push the button, Pat. You know, when you're blind at this age, you have to put your glasses on first. So the we have lots of different activities, and you'll see I brought a load of materials. If you have time tonight, you can do some light reading before you go to bed. But there's a lot of pieces in there that talks about our different activities. So we have things called After Fours, Business After Hours, Signature Events, Series, and those differ a little bit. After Four we typically do within a business. You know, or, excuse me, After Four is usually in a bar, which is where I just came from, and but the business after hours is usually in a business. So we typically try to do a variety of those so that you're getting yourself throughout the county. Signature events, perhaps you all went to the annual meeting last week. That's one of our signature events, and we do six of them a year, and they tend to have somewhere between 300 and 400 folks at those events. So Patrick has mentioned summer networking, and you'll see that that's coming up. That's another one of our large events where we just encourage people to network. There's no presentation. So there's all sorts of different things like that. We have the, very soon you'll be seeing advertisement for the fact that we're having the Snohomish County, I'm sorry, we're forgetting
Snohomish County update,
excuse me. And honestly, I wasn't drinking at that after hours. And the Snohomish County update is coming up, and that's when we'll hear from any executives. And so we'll look for all those things, and I know that most of you are on our mailing list and probably are already inundated with all this material, but we just want you to know that there's lots of opportunity. And we partner with a lot of organizations like Engage Everett, so that's mentioned here, and there's other folks that we do a lot of different events with, so we would love to come to Monroe and do that. So I've talked with your chamber of commerce director. We're trying to get out to Monroe to do some things like that. So we'd love to have that opportunity. So these are the summer events coming up. You'll see if you'd like to join us, there's quite a number of them. We do other things like speaker series too, which is our luncheon activity that's kind of like a chamber luncheon. State of Linwood, as you might have known, the mayor of Linwood will be speaking there. So there's quite a lot coming up, so if you'd like to come to something and you're interested, please let me know so we can get you registered. But summer networking is really a highlight. If you haven't been to it before, it's just a great event. And it's on the Strato Deck at the Future Flight. You see the airport, the surroundings. It's just a really nice evening. So we hope that you'll come and join us at some of these. And this is what the Economic Alliance really does to give you that opportunity to broaden your perspective. And so boards and committees, that's another way if you want a deeper dive. I'm sure that you just have lots of hours to give us, but you know, we know the mayor comes to our offices quite a lot, but you can see we have the executive board and our board of trustees. There are about 50 board of trustees, I believe now, and 53. And that all has an offshoot of the finance committee because they like to keep track of what we're doing. But also, we have several other boards and committees that you can take advantage of, whether that's the advocacy or the manufacturing. We also have a small business communications board. So there's lots of ways to get involved. We have a very large ambassador group as well. So if there's a business where you think you have someone, or if you're a chamber director would like to be an ambassador, there's the opportunity to do that. So, We just like to give people the opportunity to have a small group if that's helpful to them. I always tell people it's like church, and if you want to get more out of it, you have to kind of find your small group in your community, so it works. So getting the most of your investment, you know, obviously, you know, we work with folks if they want to develop their presentation skills to be able to talk about their business easily, utilize the EASC website to promote their business. You can do that too, because as a city, you can go on and put whatever's going on in your city on the investor calendar. Engage in all the EASC events that you can stand or manage in your day. Access to small business resources, like I mentioned earlier, all those different groups that can help your business. I know many of you, you know, this isn't your only activity in life, so if you have something you'd like to do with your business, we're happy to help you with that as well. And, you know, that's really just what the Economic Alliance is trying to do, is speaking with that unified voice and gathering that information together. I learned so much about Monroe when I came to sit with Mayor Thomas. It was just nice to understand and see what was happening here so that I can speak to it every day to people that I talk to. So we're just appreciative of your contribution and participation. And if there's any questions, we'd be happy to take them.
Councilmembers, do you have any questions, comments? Councilmember Gamble.
No, I just thank you for coming out. And yeah, it was just at the annual event, the awards deal. Great event, great speakers, and appreciate all the work you're doing, and you're going to bring more.
Right? Yeah.
And you got all the Monroe stuff. We'll just bring all kinds of stuff in now. So, no, appreciate the work you guys are doing.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
So they had organized a tour of a couple of our business, three of our businesses in the industrial park a couple months ago. We're in the process of working with Economic Alliance right now to try to organize a couple more. One of them that we're looking at is Research International or something. They
natural
actually
factors. Natural Factors.
Natural Factors.
I think you've been through the wet noses already. But
no, we haven't.
We haven't. Oh,
correct.
Because I'm trying to get there as well. So June 2nd in the afternoon, we're trying to take another tour group through some businesses that, you know, a lot of them we don't know either. Either we've been introduced to them or we're getting to know them. And so I know some folks at Natural Factors, they aren't part of the EASC, but we would really like to have them be part. But we also just think it's really relevant to maybe they're not even aware of us. So that's what we're trying to do, is to get that exposure for the city and also for the Economic Alliance, but just to build those partnerships. So if you can join us on June 2nd in the afternoon, we'll communicate that. So I'll be working with Pamela to get that schedule handled.
Sounds good. We do have one important groundbreaking, which you mentioned earlier at 4:30 on Thursday.
Well, maybe we can just attend that as well.
Sure. You're welcome to attend it. Yes.
We'll segue to the groundbreaking.
Absolutely.
Right.
Anything else?
We'll leave our materials so you can take a look at them. If you have any questions.
Do you have a couple extra materials? Teresa and Aaron back there are with our downtown association, and they could probably benefit from sharing that information with our downtown folks.
If you just get a chance to listen, what we really try to do is take a look back over the past 5 years, kind of a good milestone of kind of the accomplishments that happened throughout Snohomish County here. So I think it's a good kind of catalog of all the things that we've been able to achieve together as the county. So,
awesome.
Yeah. So with that, thank you all very much for having us out here.
Thank you.
Thank you
both. All right, our next item on the agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing.
Thank you very much.
We do have a sign-in sheet, and while Ms. Smoot is going to get that sheet, is there any member of the public who would like to come forward to speak? Ms. Hendrickson.
Oh, my.
No, not you. I'm nervous. No, you can speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Chris Henderson. My address is 125 East Main Street, Suite 202, Monroe. And I just wanted to say that on final action for the downtown outdoor sculpture selection, I wanted to announce my huge support of the city's recommendation to go with Kevin Patel, who is a extremely talented and wonderful and amazing artist. And he's like super famous, and he has art all over the state, I'm pretty sure. And he's a wonderful person and really has a heart for the Sky Valley. And so I think he's an excellent choice. And if you want to see a piece of his work that he's already done, you can go to Sultan City Hall. There's a wonderful bronze sculpture just right inside the door, and it's really neat to see. So that's all I want to say.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So nobody else has signed up to speak. Teresa, Aaron, would you? No.
Please go to the lights, please. Oh.
So a comment from the floor from Aaron was to please vote for the lights. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Seeing no other comments this evening from citizens, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Camp.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Gamble to approve the consent agenda. This includes the downtown fee waiver extension, just for interest. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda.
Point of order?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor?
We will need to read that ordinance into record.
We need to read the ordinance into record. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Approved through the consent agenda was ordinance number 005-2016, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, extending for an additional one-year period the temporary elimination of fees for certain permits associated with development in the downtown area, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective. Thank you.
Thank you. Just for council to understand what happened there, when we can put ordinances on the consent agenda, but they need to be read in. And so after voting, they get read in. And I had forgotten about that. So thank you, Ms. Smith. All right. Next item on the agenda is unfinished business item number one. This is AB 16070, discussion smoking and vaping in parks. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you. Good evening. April 26th this year, the council reviewed action recommendations that were received from the Monroe Community Coalition and staff's assessment of those items. The city council requested that item number 3, which was establishing a city prohibition to smoking and vaping in parks, be discussed further in regards to enacting by proclamation and or establishing a policy for smoking vaping free parks. Have attachments. What was done in 2003, a proclamation by the City of Monroe, Mayor Walzer, declaring tobacco-free parks. So the idea could be that we would do the same proclamation similar, but we would also add, we would update that with the Snohomish Health District as far as, you know, the information, the studies, the reasoning behind it. We would also add vaping to that as well in proclamation. I also did a little research on the MRSC's site, and the City of Burien found that they have a policy in place that's very similar to, I believe, what our AIM is in parks regarding menaces with tobacco. So again, we work with Snohomish Health District on the findings and purpose of the policy, and also the definitions, and add vaping to the definitions, the definition for vaping. Now this policy, the enforcement of this policy shall be through voluntary compliance. I know that was the subject, or some of the discussion that was brought up last time when this was discussed, as far as enforcement of something like this in the parks. And in compliance with the tobacco-free and vape-free parks policy would be encouraged through signage, awareness, and education. And so I also did a little running, figuring out numbers. You may have seen something similar to this in the parks. This is from before. Some of them have been faded, and we've lost a few. But we have the tobacco-free zones, what the signs currently are in the parks. And so this is what the Snohomish Health District has offered up. So it'd be clean air zone, no smoking, no vaping. And they have a price for these signs. They're about $30 a sign. I also checked locally, some other local sign companies, and that's basically what it is. So it would be about $1,000 to cover our parks. So we would have a sign, at least one sign at all the parks, and we'd have some of our larger parks where we have multiple entry points, we would have multiple signs, you know, at the entry points as well to cover that. So that would be about $1,000. And recommendation from staff is that the Monroe Park Board could be tasked to review the draft policy recommendations and then make a recommendation to City Council.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Farrell. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. So how did Burien set up a voluntary policy for enforcement? I mean, so they can't have a sign that says no vaping because it's
So they have the signage about it being tobacco-free parks, which is what we have in place right now. And so their policy then just basically lines out. But the City of Monroe, we currently don't have a written policy on that. Mm-hmm. We have a proclamation that we have signs in the parks. So this would give us staff a clear written policy on the educational, you know, reasons behind.
So essentially, you have a posted sign that says tobacco-free park,
right.
Without the specification that no smoking by order of Burien ordinance. Yeah, da 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 da.
Yeah. So some of that, going back to the last discussion, the council meeting, it was on the 26th. I know the police chief brought up the points about the enforcement, if there was a fine, so a monetary fine, mm-hmm. an ordinance, something like that, is that the danger is creating something that say wouldn't be enforced.
Right.
So this was kind of, from an educational point, I kind of like the as far as the compliance be voluntary, and that's about where we're leaving it at.
Right. One of the things, in addition to that, that Councilmember Gamble had mentioned, the gentleman or gentle person out in the boat who's smoking or vaping really isn't affecting anyone. I don't know if we want to try and get an enforcement issue put together with that. I do like the idea of having the Monroe Parks Board look over the next iteration of this and try to come up with some voluntary method,
right,
to get enforcement. That's about it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other council members? Councilmember Rasmussen?
Thank you.
Oh, thanks. It was a quiet button.
It was on.
I couldn't hear it.
Quiet.
It wasn't.
Never heard of a quiet light.
Mike, thanks for bringing this back in the research. Was a call put out to Arlington at all by chance? Because I know, from my understanding, and I was unable to get in contact with them as well, but they've banned smoking and vaping in their parks, and I think it's still relatively new, so I don't know whether, what the success or drawbacks or anything like that have been, but so far they've been honored through the County Health District for their efforts in that, kind of pioneering it. So I would definitely support it going to the Parks Board for review, and maybe you can have them look into Arlington as well. For me, I think this has been a topic that I brought up at P4 many times, and to me, I feel that a proclamation is good, but I think we can do better than that to protect our parks and protect the health and of our parks and the people that visit our parks. And I understand that enforcement can be challenging, but if we look at some of the other stuff that we have out there that we should be enforcing and we can't and we don't, I don't want to add one more thing to it, but I don't think that we can use that argument either. But I would like to see and personally prefer more than just a proclamation on something like this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with Councilmember Rasmussen. I'd like to see us take a stronger stance and set a good example for mainly our younger generation, set a good example for our residents on what we really want to see and what we don't want to see. So.
Thank you. Any other council members? Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I support the decision. Parks Board going back there. I think it's a worthwhile effort. I am supportive of the voluntary side of things, as admirable as I think is going the other way. I think our focus needs to be on illegal, illicit drugs. We have a problem there that needs to be addressed, and that's where the law enforcement should be spending their time, in my opinion. I'm in the parks all the time. I don't really see it as a large issue, to be honest with you. So I think if you throw the signage out there, with the self-policing, that'll probably take care of whatever the additional is there. That's just my two cents. But I do think it's a good idea, Council Rasmussen's point on not reaching out to Arlington and, seeing the successes and or failures as they rolled out their program. So that was it.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough or Davis, do you have anything that you'd like to add since we've got sort of different...
Nothing to add, just concur with what's been said. I don't think we need to, just because we're afraid we can't enforce it, not to have it there.
So it would be your preference to have enforcement rather than voluntary?
Well, I'm okay with the voluntary, but I would like to see the ordinance there. So it could be enforced if we had the people to go out and enforce it.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Okay. Can I ask?
Yes. Go ahead, Mr. Farrell.
What about, are we talking about a fine? And no one's raised a fine. You said enforcement.
Let's wait on that. Let's hear from Davis, because right now I've got like 3-2. Councilmember Davis.
Well, the same thing. I'm in agreement with it, certainly with the voluntary part, and I think there's no reason why we can't move forward with that really quickly, but maybe we need to look at ordinances. Let's see how it works, maybe. Later on type thing.
Okay.
But, that's something we can continue with right, immediately. I like getting the Parks Board involved in it too, and so I'm in agreement with pretty much what everybody said about it. So.
Yeah. And all I'm trying to do right now is I'm trying to identify the scope so that Mr. Farrell doesn't go to the Parks Board talking about a proclamation and then find out that council is more interested in an ordinance with enforcement provisions. So that's why I'm trying to winnow things down. It's sounding like there's an interest in doing a scope that would include an ordinance with some sort of enforcement, and Mr. Farrell can certainly look into what other jurisdictions are doing that might involve fines, citations, and things like that. You still have the floor, Councilmember Davis, and then I'll call in Councilmember Kemp.
I'm through.
Okay, thank Councilmember you. Kemp.
Just a little bit more information about Burien would be good. A little bit more detail on how they set up their voluntary program. How do they handle enforcement if it is a voluntary program? I mean, if we can avoid putting an ordinance out there, and essentially an ordinance that we're not going to enforce, I'd be much happier. And have they been successful at it? I mean, apparently if they tried a voluntary program and it's not working for them, then we have to have a little bit heavier hammer. But otherwise, if it'll work and it's voluntary, I think it'd be a great idea. And, of course, continue with the Parks Board. That's it.
Mr. Farrell? I'm sorry. Mr. Brazel, do you have anything?
I do not.
Okay. Mr. Farrell, do we get a lot of complaints about people smoking in our parks or vaping in our parks?
Just occasional at, say, events like movie events where people are kind of congregating in one area, and we have been kind of educating people, making an announcement to please ask that they refrain from doing it there. And it's worked. So I guess from a litter point of view, there are certain areas of the parks. I wouldn't say system-wide, just a few spots that probably have a few more or thereabouts. There it is. But I put it as pretty mild myself.
Okay. All right. All right, Councilmember Hanford.
Just something to think about. If we're going to be going to the expense of making new signs, just something to consider. It's easier to pass an ordinance and have a sign say that and just be done with it when the sign is done, rather than make the sign generic and then we pass an ordinance and then I don't know if you have to make a new sign after that, but that's something to look into, consider, I guess.
It wouldn't be a staff's intent to buy the signs until this has gone through the Parks Board and either the council adopts an ordinance or adopts or decides to go the proclamation route. We wouldn't want to go through the expense of that until we know what the language would be on the sign.
Well, I know that.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying that would be something we can consider as a council.
Uh-huh.
If we just decide to do a voluntary thing and we order the signs and then at some later day we decide, no, we need to make an ordinance. Do we have to make all new signs? Because now it's an ordinance enforced by ordinance, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Understood.
Something to research.
All right. So staff will take a look at two options then. One will be a proclamation, and the other one will be to look at an ordinance with some sort of enforcement provision, whether that be fines or whatever the other alternatives are, and we'll get feedback from the Parks Advisory Board and then bring that back before council. Okay. Any questions? Mr. Farrell, do you have everything that you need?
I think I do.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right, next item on the agenda this evening is discussion item number, so this is the second item, AB 16071, discussion downtown decorative lighting. And would this be
Brad.
Mr. Feilberg?
Thank you. April, we came to the council to discuss the possibility of installing decorative LED lights in downtown, similar to the ones that are at the route to the Capitol Room or the Taco Truck across the street from the liquor store. Those two places I didn't have them brought down. That was sent to the P4 committee to discuss. They discussed that on April 26th, and we discussed the workload with the Public Works Department this summer, and schedule easily for the spring of 2017. Doing it in the summer of 2016 would require either not doing some important projects that we've already had permitting for, actually are required from our MPDES permit, and we also have the tree removal along the ditch between Brown's Industrial and Brown's Residential. This is an outstanding issue with the trees there that in our process that they need to be removed. We could have the Public Works Department do the additional work for the lights downtown for overtime, which would have had about $8,000 to the cost. Or we could go out to bid for that, the contractor, which would probably double the cost to about $60,000. And so the P4 committee thought that should be either the finance committee or the entire council to decide whether or not that additional amount of money would be worth expending to have those lights put in this year. So we are looking for direction from the council on whether or not to do the next year for $30,000 or this year for either $38,000 or about $60,000. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Feilberg. Would anybody from the P4 committee like to chime in since this went through P4? Okay. Any council members want to have any feedback on this? Councilmember Gamble?
So the $8,000 difference, I mean, I know we talked about this previously, and I think everybody is, you know, in support of putting the lights up. The conversation is just whether or not we want to pay $8,000 more to have them this year. Have we reached out to see if there's any private partner that wants to sponsor or get some sort of sponsorship to make up the $8,000 that we could throw a party for them?
No, we have not done that.
But we could certainly do that.
Yeah. Any Councilmember Scarborough?
So we're talking about an additional 8 on top of the 30?
Correct.
So we're still talking about not having the 30,000 this year without doing away with some other project?
No, $38,000 this year, you can have them installed this year.
Correct, but 30 of that money would have to come from somewhere else, as opposed to putting it on the schedule for 17.
The money would still have to come from somewhere else, even in 17.
Still coming.
Okay. So to be clear,
and then if you don't want to take it, basically the suggestion now is come out of the contingency fund. If not, you'd have to take it out of the street fund, which would mean you'd have less striping than next year, or you know, potholes patched or something like that.
Okay. Thank you.
So whether it's the 30 or the 38, it would come out of, most likely out of contingency this year, or potentially out of contingency next year.
Sorry.
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Thank you. Excuse me. Yeah, just thinking back to the P4 committee meeting that we had, I mean, we were all definitely in agreement that the lights would be great to have, and something that I think all of us members were looking forward to, and you know, it just came down to whether this year or next year and that cost savings. But you know, from our point of view, it's definitely the workload on the staff. So you know, I'm looking at it saying we're doing the right things in downtown, we're making the right steps. I mean, we've got the art project coming up, and so I think you know, having this worked in properly for 2017, you know, is good. It's not a bad thing, but you know, it's, I feel good that one way or another it's going to happen.
Okay. So I'm hearing a consensus, I guess, of two things. One, that we can certainly reach out to see if there are any entities that would like to share in the $8,000 delta. Mm-hmm. So the question then would be, if a group or a couple of businesses come to the table with that $8,000 delta, is that something that we can accept?
Is that, they have to do a donation.
Donation, perfect. And then if that were to happen, is council comfortable with proceeding with $30,000 in 2016? Okay, and so I'm seeing head nods, yes. Okay. Councilmember Davis?
Yeah, all I wanted to say was that, the P4 committee, we were all enthusiastic about this. Mm-hmm. We would like to do this tomorrow. It was the extra $8,000 on top of the 30 that we decided that needs to be something that the whole council discussed. I like that idea, because one of the things we did ask was, could we get volunteers to do it or things like that, but that runs into liability issues, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, union, things like that. So, I also like yours, because my point is, the sooner the better. I think it's a great idea. And yes, we can wait and get it done next year, but if we can get it done this year, that'd be that much better. So,
okay.
Let's look at that and see if we can do something like that. And if not, then maybe talk about the $8,000. You know? I'm not, you know, that's not
huge.
Yeah, and it's not that big an obstacle. So,
okay, Mr. Brazel.
I was just curious, Mr. Falberg, how long is the order time for all the materials? Do you know?
From what we've looked at, it appears that it's not that long. Maybe like a month or something like that for the most.
Okay. One trip to Costco.
A trip to Costco. I think they're a little bit more specialized.
Yeah.
Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, I guess I'd love to see it in place by, my fair time would be... And we're heading into the summer months. It's going to be nice. It'd be nice to have it up downtown. So, yeah, if we could look up the Delta, maybe a couple of us could make some phone calls and solicit that. I'm all in for doing it this year.
Okay. Sounds good. Mr. Brazel?
Thank you, and that's why I asked the question, because it seems like there's a lot of support to move forward to do it on overtime. So I guess I would propose bringing this back in a couple weeks to have a decision, and maybe in that couple of week time period we can go out and try and find some sponsorships. But at that point in time, we'll need to make a decision if it's, you know, 30 or 45 days out to order materials and then get that installed. It would be a push to get it in by fair time. So does that seem reasonable?
So we'll bring this back in a couple of weeks, and right, if you've got folks that you can contact, staff and I will certainly think about who we can contact, probably talk with the DMA a little bit and the chamber, and see what we can do to make up the delta. So thank you very much. We'll bring this back on a upcoming agenda. All right. The next item that we have on the agenda is final action item number one. This is AV 16072, downtown outdoor sculpture selection. Mr. Farrell.
Okay. So, the City Council approved the establishment of a public art policy and funding in the amount of $10,000 for an outdoor sculpture to be installed within the newly renovated downtown plaza area. A call for sculptors was advertised in mid-March with a deadline of April 25th. The city received 5 proposals from 4 different artists, and the proposals were then reviewed by an art selection committee that met on May 4th and May 11th of this year. The art selection committee was comprised of individuals representing the Monroe Arts Council, Robert Fairfax, Monroe Chamber of Commerce, Shelley Nyhammer, Downtown Monroe Association, Aaron Angus Snapka and Samantha Idle, Monroe Planning Commission, Steve Jensen, Monroe Park Board, Bridget Tuttle, Monroe City Council, Jeff Rasmussen, Monroe City staff, myself, Public Works Director Brad Falberg, and Community Development Director David Osaki. And I mention the names because I want to thank everybody. I may not be here, but everybody that participated in the art selection committee. I really appreciate the service that you all performed. So, the art selection committee has made a recommendation to the City Council. It was unanimously agreed upon to select the proposal brought forth by artist Kevin Edwin Patel titled Wagner Swifts. The committee unanimously agreed that Mr. Patel's proposal demonstrated a high-quality body of work and best met the city's art policy selection criteria as an original and unique work that expresses a connection to the city of Monroe, is appropriate to the site, and durable. The committee expressed that further refinement of the artist's concept can occur as desired during negotiations with the selected artist. And that, by example, was brought up about refining the color tone of the chimney to a more like a weathered steel appearance or something similar to that. In the rendering here of the Wagner chimney with the Swifts coming out, the Swifts are stainless steel spiraling out of the chimney, and proposal, it, you know, shows the kind of a reddish color. I know they're trying to play off of the red brick of the chimney, or the artist. So the idea is that we came back, you know, strongly from the committee that in negotiating that we could suggest and work with them that maybe have like a weathered steel or something the artist may suggest to more tone down the color of that chimney portion. So there are 5 submissions in your packets. You have all the 5 submissions, and they were ranked Kevin Patel, number 1, Wagner Swifts. 2nd was Lance Carlton's Fat Tire. And 3rd was Leon White's submission of Sit and Smell the Roses. And then 4th is Leon White's submission of Miracle Grow. And then 5th was Vincent Cavanaugh's untitled submission. So as far as time constraints, the city, we have announced in the call for sculptors that the selected artists would be notified by June 3rd with a deadline for the work to be installed no later than November 23rd of this year. That's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Farrell, thank you very much, and the Art Selection Committee for all the work that they did to review these, and thank you to the artists that submitted them. I'm really excited. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, I'll move to direct the mayor and staff to negotiate a draft agreement for services with Kevin Edmund Patel for downtown art sculpture.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion?
Yes, so...
Councilmember Hanford.
The question I have is, I absolutely love that design. The question I have is, what happens if the birds leave town? Like, I mean, I'm just thinking practical, you know.
It becomes historical.
It becomes historical.
I mean, has anybody looked into that? Is that like the swifts? Do they repopulate somewhere else every 10 years? Or
They've been consistently, and I don't know the exact number of years, they've been consistently utilizing that for several years, that chimney. And I know the school district, they went ahead and spent some funds to reinforce and preserve that chimney. So as far as the chimney, I don't think that's going to go anywhere. So if they were going to look at rehabbing the building, or moving the building, there would be a chimney there, and we'd have two standalone chimneys.
Chimney town, okay.
Like, who knows? If it falls down, they might be using this one.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Mike, the only thing I can see with the sculpture is, with the showing a person next to it to give you an idea of the size. Is there any concern about vandalism of that? It looks like somebody could reach up there and, there's lots of snag points. Excuse me, lots of snag points on the birds, and I just wonder if there needs to be something to put the chimney on that raises that up another 6-8 feet. I don't know.
Yeah, we could definitely discuss that further with the selected artist.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I just want to offer council some perspective on some of the discussions that took place amongst the selection committee, and many of the questions that you guys brought up already were widely discussed. And one of the things that everyone was very consistent in the conversations about on the selection committee was, how does this relate to Monroe? And the two pieces in regards to the flowers, I mean, right out of the gate, no one really understood that until one of the committee members refreshed everyone's memory of how Monroe used to be a hub for the flower gardens, and in fact, right down by the railroad tracks were the greenhouses, and so, kind of brought that point of reference. Obviously, they're no longer here, and so, if the Swiss do ever go away, we're always going to have that, and as part of the entrenched in the Monroe history. So, I definitely don't think that's going to, go away, or that the history is always going to be there. And amongst all the pieces, this was definitely the most relatable to Monroe that we had. I mean, personally, I would have loved to have seen the bikes, just because they were fun and interactive, but we're just not relatable to a bicycle community at this point. And Swiss, we are. I mean, people come from all over the place to watch the Swiss every year. I'm going to scroll back up here, because I can't remember his name off the top of my head. From the Arts, from the Arts Council?
Robert Fairfax.
Yeah, Mr. Fairfax. He brought a lot of great perspective, not only in the art pieces alone, but the artists themselves. And he clearly had a lot of experience in working with outdoor public art. And the thing that struck with me, they said, is, regardless of whatever piece you put outside, if the public can touch it, it runs the risk of vandalism. And in his mind, that this was one piece that was probably the most sustainable out there, so, or that we had presented.
You know, overall, I think that the excitement from the committee was very evident, and you know, I feel good that you know this is something that I think this council is going to be tasked with almost every year, as far as finding ways to not only increase the outdoor culture and the art culture in our downtown, especially, but throughout Monroe, but then also how to interchange it. You know, this piece is being bolted to the ground there at the corner of Main and Lewis, but it could be a year or 10 years from now. It may get moved to closer to the Wagner Center. You know, it's that versatile. So, I'm pleased that we were able to bring this this piece to council, and I'm very supportive of this piece and look forward to seeing it downtown.
Thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I just want to thank the committee. They really did capture the essence of Monroe with this particular selection. I was impressed when I saw it the first time. And hearing about the background and how you reviewed it and the consideration of real events, things that could happen to it, makes me feel that it really is the best choice.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
A couple of thoughts you might put down for negating some of the access to the sculptures. Either I'll call it a moat around it. So you put it in the middle of a big water feature that puts you another 3 feet all the way around from the sculpture, or you plant plants like they do down the center of our Main Street to keep them that much farther away that they would have to either wade in the water or tiptoe through the tulips to get there. But not just right up next to it where you could, you know, rub up against it and reach up and touch it.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that what a great start on this whole thing. I liked a lot. I liked everything that was presented. But I got to tell you, when I first opened this up, I started scrolling down, you know, with, okay, what do we got here? And the first thing I saw was Wagner Swift's, and then boom, the picture, and I said, well, that's it. There it is, right there. Bingo. I mean, I don't even need to look at others, although I did. But yeah, I came right back to it, and that's it right there. And it just says so much, you know, it's so Monroe. So it's a home run, you know.
Thank you.
I think. So I'm excited. Can't wait to see it.
Maybe we ought to put a sign on the stack that says Wagner, whatever the. No, it's the school has changed names so many times, but the theater there, and the auditorium and the smokestack are so integral to what we're doing here. Maybe some sort of name could go on the chimney. Monroe Wagner Center or something.
There probably will be a title or something that'll be near it to identify what it is. Yeah, Councilmember Davis, you still have the floor.
I'm sorry.
That's it.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
No, that was. I felt the same way. Absolutely nailed it. Nice job to the committee. The thing I was thinking of is, you know, just if there's some sort of plaque or description, even putting when the time of year that it typically happens. So, you know, I mean, I was just a pitch almost like we build on the historical factor, you know, and hey, you know, just to walk down Main Street, you know, X amount from here between the hours of, you know, whatever during, you know, this time frame, and you can see this unfold before your eyes.
I think it's perfect. It's cool. Yep.
That way, if they go away, there's a record.
There's a record.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that becomes like a historical type deal.
Yeah, I. Anything further?
Oh, that's it.
Okay. I really like this. It is unique to Monroe. It is truly unique to Monroe. I think that it creates an excellent opportunity for a narrative about something that there are a lot of people that know about the Swifts in town, but they don't get to see it, and it allows us to sort of promote something that is unique to Monroe that is within relative walking distance, probably about a, I know Brad would tell me it probably only takes about 5 minutes to walk it, but 10 minutes, okay. So it's just a 10-minute walk from this. And again, it's uniquely Monroe. Somebody could look at trying to do something with the fairgrounds. That's the county. You know, this is uniquely Monroe. And I think it's pretty cool. I'm really excited about it. And like I said before, the art selection committee did a great job. The artists, I loved all the art pieces that I looked at. And just like with all of you, this really captured my interest. And I'm really looking forward to it. So thank you all for this opportunity, and thank you to the selection committee for their work.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Don't we have a motion on the floor?
Yeah, let's go ahead and deal with the motion. So we do have a motion on the floor. There is no other discussion on the motion that I see. I'll go ahead and call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much, everybody. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda, which is Councilmember reports. So we'll start off with the committee reports, Finance and Human Resources Committee.
Hey, I didn't understand why this was on here.
Yeah. No report. Okay.
Point of clarification.
Oh, sorry. The 2016 work plan is on there.
That is correct. So
we covered that.
Work plans that were brought to committee, but they needed to come to the full council for review to become final. So this is a chance for the committee members to bring them to the full council, review them, and then.
Okay.
We'd
actually brought the work plan before, so that was why I didn't understand that piece. We'd actually, unless I'm.
I thought that the only one that had come forward was the Legislative Affairs Committee.
Pretty sure I read from it the last time we did the deal, but no big deal. It don't matter.
Okay.
It's all good.
So just out of formality then, does anybody have any requested changes or concerns about the Finance Human Resources Committee work program for 2016? Okay, I don't see any, so without objection, we'll go ahead and consider that the work plan. So the same thing would be with the P4 committee. Did anybody have, first, does any committee member want to go over that? And second, if there isn't anybody that would like to go over that, does anybody have objection to the 2016 work program for P4?
We added a couple things. The track 9, 999 was one of the things. Yeah, what else was there that we added to it? I don't see, everything else is pretty much moving or just moving forward from last year's work plan and things that weren't completed. And I think maybe the municipal campus was also added.
I was going to say, I think we'd added that one this year.
So those are the only two things that were added to it. So.
Okay. So does anybody have any objection to the 2016 work plan for P4? All right, seeing none, we'll go ahead and consider that the 2016 work plan for P4. All right, let's go ahead and move on to Community Transit Board of Directors. Councilmember Cutaback, I think she had already announced that she was not going to be making that meeting.
Correct.
So we don't have a report on that. So we'll go ahead and go down the line on Councilmember reports. Councilmember Scarborough.
Nothing to report. I think Jason will read out on the dinner we went to last Thursday, and I'll let him talk about that.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Gimble.
Yeah, so first off, apologize for my absence last weekend. I said I'd be late and didn't know if I could. Last time I went to my son's concert, it only took 15 minutes. I told you guys I wasn't going to be here, and I walked right in through the door. This one was not 15 minutes. It went quite a long ways, and it was also my father's birthday, so that's why I missed last Tuesday. But yes, Councilmember Scarborough and I attended the Small Cities dinner up in Stanwood, where the topic of conversation was around the opioid epidemic in Snohomish County, and just a lot of the conversation before during, and the presentation from the undercover officers that were in attendance was around the efforts in 2015 and just how sophisticated that a lot of the dealers have become. And we sit and we watch on TV and you hear names like El Chapo and all that kind of stuff and the Mexican cartel. And that's exactly who they're dealing with. That's exactly who's on the I-5 corridor. That's exactly who's in Everett. That's in, stretching out to the east side. And they just work I-5. And they went over one of the cases that they they busted last year, and there was 30 plus individuals involved. It took, you know, a ton of resources and time. Took $3 million plus off the out of circulation. But then immediately there's three times that already, you know, back as far as those that are willing to step up and fill the voids. They took pictures of the homes that were kind of, you know, talked about the safe houses and different things, and they're just everyday homes next to you and I. So it really brought kind of that issue into the forefront, I know, for both of us, and just how cities and towns are dealing with it, and that, you know, we really, you know, the unintended consequence of some of the activities over in overseas, and, you know, some of the new freedoms is driving the price of opium down,
and it extend all the way up into Canada.
Yeah.
He was, it's called the Sinaloa Cartel. It's one of the, it is the biggest cartel in Mexico, and it is El Chapo's. And it, when he showed the I-5 corridor from Mexico to Canada, and what, and had all the dots on the map, it was amazing how many were there. And then I talked to him after the sheriff afterwards, and he said, yeah, it goes all the way into Canada too, so it's a big deal.
And just the increased effort that we need to make as a county and as cities, and just on focusing on that through every organization that we have at our disposal as we try to deal with that, figure the problem. So Chief's not here tonight, so can't comment on that. But it was educational. It was a good opportunity to network and see. I did not realize how big of an issue it was in the Everett or in the Arlington, Smoky Point and Marysville area, even more so than us. So very eye-opening in that regards. And incidentally, I serve on the credit union board in Everett, and we had just gotten done talking about, we were having issues in our Smoky Point branch where they're using our drive-through. They're living out of it, and we catch them on the camera because they ordered a pizza. And they were, because it's covered, it's exploded. Very educational. Kind of just put us on point for where we need to be looking as going forward, and just continuing to reach out to law enforcement both here locally and then with the county on what the plan is to combat that. And then working with the coalition here locally too as well, because obviously it's a supply and demand type deal. If we can keep kids and young folks off not demanding it, then maybe they'll move on. So it's a twofold deal. I think the biggest piece that got me, they were saying one of the biggest components of folks that were getting hooked on it was actually families, and individuals that are being prescribed opioids, prescription drugs. It's your soccer dad or soccer mom, and then it turns in, they can't pay for the habit, so then it turns into opium, and then the other spouse doesn't want the other one to do it alone, and they join in. That floored me. I never heard that one before. Pretty significant issue. So that it was good, though, to be able to network with folks. Executive Summers was there. There was actually quite good representation for his. Yeah, Hans Dunshy was there. I didn't think Councilmember Klein wasn't there, was he? No. So good contingent for a long drive, especially with one of the lanes closed. Took Councilmember Scarborough and I forever and a day to get up there, but we made it. But a good event. Before that, I did attend the Economic Alliance. I'm sure Patsy probably touched on it in her report last week with Councilmember Cutterback, and that too was a great meeting. And the thing, they didn't bring it up. I don't know if Patsy touched on it, but the Economic Alliance was pretty integral in an effort that's Darrington. So Arlington put together for the American Best Communities deal that's sponsored by a bunch of companies, including Frontier Communications, who was the sponsor for that particular event, where you go back and you present, and the grand prize is a $3 million check for local economic development in the cities. It's been a three-year process. Long story short, Arlington, Darrington, Oso, Entry is a finalist, one of the final four. So they got a check already for over $25,000 for economic development. They take that what are you going to do with it? But the Economic Development Council played an integral part in connecting those cities and talking about where they said it's all one voice and knowing, you know, hey, there's that cooperation type deal. But, you know, Bob Druhl, who played a big piece in it as well, is kind of a speaker from the area. He's lived there forever and a day. Called the mayor of Marysville, because originally it was going to be Marysville and Arlington that was going to submit their proposal. And they called the mayor of Marysville and said, you know what, we have a better opportunity at this if we partner with OSO or, you know, with Darrington. And the Marysville mayor took their name off of the entry so that we would, the region would have a better opportunity on landing, you know, the money. So it was just a great showcase of that and where the Economic Alliance really kind of, you know, helped facilitate the connection and the communication. So that was a good story to hear about. Other than that, just a great concert last Tuesday by Maltby, Chain Lake, and then the high school. It was all of their marimba bands and all of their percussions. It was a lot of fun. So that's it.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir. Councilmember Davis.
Nothing this evening. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Kent.
Nothing to report.
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. You know, just really want to start off and thank the council and staff for, you know, just amazing conversations and progress moving forward on Monroe. I mean, downtown, our parks, and hearing how, you know, we're represented throughout the county and as a whole, we're moving forward in a very positive way. And it's always great to hear that. And, you know, some of the stuff that we encounter within our jobs here, it's coming back and seeing that is always refreshing. So, you know, thank you to the council and staff and everyone involved with that. You know, on a slightly different note, had the opportunity and completed my first century earlier this month up in Skagit County, and it was interesting as I was trudging up a hill, guy came and started riding next to me, and come to find out he was one of the local cycling advocates there in the Skagit Valley, and was telling me how they have just completed or near completion of turning that northern Whatcom, southern or north Skagit, south Whatcom, Chuckanut area, and then east of I-5 into Skagit Valley, designated Skagit Valley Bikeway or something along those lines, and the impacts that it's having within the communities there, and it was very interesting to listen to him and talk about that and you know the benefits that it's actually bringing into the small cities for the designated bike paths go through. He eventually says, make sure you check out this and this along the way, and proceeded on. He was obviously moving at a quicker pace than I was, but it just kind of made me think, as you know, I finished the remainder of the 80 miles, that, you know, how, you know, this could be something that, you know, eventually comes through Monroe and we partner with Snohomish and Sultan or Duval and, you know, those around us on something like this and the impacts it can have with us. So it was good to hear.
Good. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Nothing tonight except about the AWC conference, but I can talk about that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's not on my list. It will be. Actually, it's on your list. All right. Out to staff. Okay.
Right. A couple things. Just a reminder, as far as earlier today or tonight, about the groundbreaking ceremony, June 2nd. So the public, everybody's invited to come on out to Lake Tai Thursday, June 2nd at 4:30 p.m. And it'll be basically, it's the grass area east of the restroom building, so between the parking lot and the trail. Is the place to shove those shovels into the ground. And the other thing I want to let you know and update you on is that you may notice downtown that we have all the nice flowers up now, in the hanging baskets and in the pots. Is that all got in us all over this last few days here. And just I want to quickly run through the Monroe Garden Club donated $500 cash towards the city flower program, as well as for public services, they donated $500 cash as well to the city flower program. Pine Creek Nursery supplied the flowers for the hanging baskets at a discount, and Monroe Lowe's store supplied all the potting soil for the flower program at a discount. And Green Bank Gardens supplied the flowers for the pots downtown at a discount. And then the Downtown Monroe Association, I believe they did it yesterday, they planted all those flowers and pots, and then our crew put up the hanging baskets that the Garden Club volunteered to pot up those hanging baskets. So all of that, the donations and the volunteer labor, it approximates about $2,500 in value to this program and for the community. So I really appreciate that. And then the final phase of the flowers for this season, we have over 3,000 beautiful begonias growing inside the prison right now. So in another couple of weeks, they'll be all planted out there by an FDOC work group.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Mike, can July 15th, can we say anything on that yet, or is there still details to come?
Oh, no, go ahead.
I'll let you.
If you may recall that last January, as the Seahawks were in the midst of the playoff run, they selected Monroe to have the rally down at Lakeside Park, and it was just an amazing turnout last January. And Mayor raised the 12th man flag as part of that ceremony. And Paul Johns, the ex-Seattle Seahawk, he runs a program, it's a youth outreach program for football skills, and this will be like a free skills camp on July 15th, and he was interested in hosting or having Monroe host one of those camps, and so he's confirmed with us. Boys and Girls Club will be supporting us in the Parks Department. It'll be held at Sky River Park. Anyways, it's exciting that the Seattle Seahawks youth football camp is selected Monroe.
Cool. All right, anything else? Okay. Mr. Osaki.
I have nothing to report today.
Mr. Feilberg.
Money.
lack of?
Nope, actually we got some. We got about $600,000 grant that's been awarded to the city for the design of extending the multi-use path up Chain Lake Road. Currently it goes from the roundabout up to the farm, and so we got money to finish the design up to 132nd Street. That's real money. And then we also have been recommended to be awarded in this year's round of money is $1.25 million to actually construct that project to finish the trail up Chain Lake Road, and then also $95,000 for design of a pedestrian bicycle path in front of the fairgrounds from Cascade View Drive to 179th.
Sweet. Nice work.
The infrastructure coordinating committee recommended that we be funded for that, so that's to go through Snohomish County tomorrow and Puget Sound Regional Council before we actually find out if we actually get the money. But
for which one of those? For all of them?
For the last two. First one's actually a real award, and then the construction of Chain Lake Road and the design of fairgrounds is recommendations.
Got it. Okay. Good. Councilmember Scarborough?
So the $600,000 grant is for the path of Woods Creek?
No, that's the design and acquisition right away for Chain Lake Road from the farm north to 137, to Brown Road.
Chain Lake.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
That was my question. So I'm trying to picture where the road needs to go from.
It's a multi-purpose trail.
trail.
Right now, there's the trail from the roundabout that goes up to the farm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's continuing the rest of the way up Chamberlain Road to city limits.
Great. This is the one where we got, where we're going to go underneath, or over the Highway 2 bypass.
Wait, no, this is north of that.
This is north of that.
Oh, north?
North of the entrance to the farm at Woods Creek off Chamberlain.
Up to Brown Road.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. We're still talking with Mark about getting their permission to do trails on the Highway 2 bypass.
Okay. Sweet.
Okay.
And the $1.2 million is for what?
Construction.
That's for construction.
Ah. Yeah, so the $600,000 is just for the design and the acquisition of right-of-way, and then the $1.2 is for the actual construction. And we are waiting to hear on the $1.2. Okay. And then there was how much?
By the design of the bathroom.
Within the right-of-way.
Yes.
Yes.
The reason it's so much is because WashDOT seems to think that that ditch along Highway 2 is a stream, so we might have to be doing some environmental stuff.
Understood. Because the multi-purpose trail would be within a stream buffer, that is, and that multi-purpose trail would go on property that is definitely not asphalt today.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Councilmember Scarborough and then Councilmember Rasmussen.
The trail that's going from Turney Way up to the farm, what fund did that come out of?
That was grant money we got several years ago.
Okay. Because people ask me, so I want to know.
Grant money. Councilman Rasmussen.
Thanks. Brad, that stretch that we're talking about, how long is that stretch?
Which stretch?
The chain link.
I'm not sure.
Approximately.
2 miles.
Mile, 2 miles?
2 miles. Yeah. More.
Less than a mile.
Less than a mile.
Yeah.
So, and the reason why I ask is because we still get questions about Centennial Trail, and okay. You know, we've asked about that. So if you figure $1.2 million just to build less than a mile of trail, I mean, keep that in perspective when we're talking Centennial. Kind of gives, puts that in perspective.
Actually, it's almost $2 million.
With the 600, yeah. So $2 million a mile to build the trail. That's probably why we haven't gotten a trail yet.
And you've got sensitive areas and things like that between Snohomish and Monroe.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Creeks and streams and rivers and things like that.
Critical areas. Yeah. All right. Anything further, Councilmember Gamble?
Are you done, Brad?
I'm done. Yes.
All right.
Okay, Councilmember Gamble.
No, I was just gonna. I forgot. But I don't know if you covered it last week. Was the Monroe Public School Foundation?
I did cover it.
Did you tell them how much you went for?
No, I didn't tell them how much I went for. I didn't tell them that I was auctioned.
You didn't tell them that we auctioned the mayor off?
We did, but he didn't put a dollar figure.
Yeah, we did lunch. We auctioned him off. And I just wanted to go on the record that we got more for the mayor than a Taiwan Walker autographed baseball. So that's pretty good, right? I think as you went over $200 for
$250
for lunch with the mayor. That's fantastic. So, but did you get to hear the numbers?
Over $100,000.
Yeah, so after expenses and stuff, we're looking at around 85. And just to get the, we only budgeted for this year in our budget around 50 to 55. So it was a huge day for kids. It was a great day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This community really has a heart. And, you know, whether it's Rotary or the Hospital Foundation or the Monroe Schools, Public Schools Foundation, some of these events that I go to, people really care and people really give. The flowers, I mean, it's just, whether it's labor or money, the Downtown Association, I think there was a $500 grant or something to help out with replacing old signs in the downtown. This is a giving community, and it's just so awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, you probably brought up that it was, the Dashing Dutchman was the food, which was spectacular. Sam Katz and, well, Sam's on the board and Petty, but we did joke that we might rename it to the Kids Country Auction.
Oh.
Because the Langston family really shows up for that. Oh, man, they were fantastic. They were great, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. All right, let's come on up here. Mr. Brazel.
A couple quick things. Jane Lanford, our land broker, is currently peddling our property or trying to in Las Vegas at the big convention, national convention, as we speak. So hopefully she'll come back with some good news.
A hotel?
Just never know. This week, Main Street Cafe. They're going to be having a ribbon cutting at 4:30 p.m. If you're interested in going, please RSVP. AWC, the convention, is going to be held June 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. We are allowed three delegates, so this evening we would like the council to select their three delegates so that we can get those listed. So this is how it works. If once we get the delegates in place, and Liz, please correct me if I didn't get this correct, there is a business meeting that will be held on Thursday the 23rd, and if you're one of the three delegates, you can attend that meeting for free. If you would like to go to the actual convention itself, you'll have to pay for that. The city will actually pay for that out of the funds that we have set aside for council member training. So, anyway, first order of business is to select three delegates.
Do I have three delegates, three people that would like to volunteer to be delegates? Councilmember Hanford, you had mentioned something earlier.
Yeah, so I had seen the email about the conference, and it just kind of tossed around my mind, maybe going, because I've seen them in the past, and they've been quite a ways away, and I knew I just couldn't, you know, take it all that time off. But since it's in Everett, so I shot Liz an email yesterday and today and said, you know, is this something that I could attend, and if I could even work out, you know, time off my job or not. And so I'm interested in going to the conference. Mm-hmm. If it helps for me to be a delegate because I'm there, I'm fine with that. But I haven't arranged, you know, vacation time and all that other stuff. So, but I am interested.
Good. And just to let you know, I'm actually on vacation. I haven't done that in over a year, so I'll be gone during this time. Otherwise, I would request that I be one of the three, so I'm not going to be able to attend. So Councilmember Hanford has got an interest. He's got to check his work schedule. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Sorry, the time's on and on the 23rd again?
The 23rd. It's all day, but the actual business meeting is from 4 to 5:45, and if you're a delegate, you'd be free to go to that.
Okay.
Okay. We're volunteering then.
No, we're not.
Okay. Is there anybody else interested in going? Are we checking calendars here?
That's exactly what we're doing.
That looks like it.
23rd of...
So you're interested?
Interested.
Okay, so we've got an interest from Hanford and Rasmussen.
I guess I was just looking at the, I didn't see the all-day thing. I just saw the 4 to 5:45.
You've got options. If you're a delegate, you can go to the business meeting. That's from 4 to 5:45, and you can go to that for free. If you want to go to the whole day on Thursday, then the whole day cost is $375. Or if you register for the whole thing, it's $450, which would be all week you'd be going.
Yeah, and what we're looking for right now are delegates. So that would be for that 1 hour period. You're certainly welcome to stay for the day or for the 2 days for the whole conference. Right now, we're just looking for the delegates for that 1 hour slot.
I'm a single parent that week with a wife in D.C., so...
Got it. Wow. Okay. So we've got interest from Hanford and Rasmussen.
For a one-hour slot?
Yeah. Was it an hour?
Hour and a half.
Hour and a half. I'm sorry. Third.
In the 4 to 5:45. An hour and 45 minutes.
I can't attend the full day, but I can be a delegate for...
Okay. That. So I've got two interested and one confirmed. Are you confirmed? Okay. All right. Are you confirmed? Okay. Got two confirmed.
Yeah, I can confirm the meeting.
The delegate part? Okay. So our delegates, is there anybody interested? Anybody else? Okay. So our delegates will be Councilmember Hanford, Councilmember Rasmussen, Councilmember Camp. And if anybody would like to attend any part of the conference, please contact Ms. Smoot, as soon as you can. What is the deadline for the actual registration?
You can register up to the day of. It's just cost increase. Okay. So the initial deadline is May 20th, and then now until the conference opens is at one price, and then if you go the day of the conference, you pay a day of price, which is just a little more.
Okay. So we would want you to confirm maybe by the end of the week, if possible, just so that we know if there's a quorum issue or anything like that. With three of you as delegates, it's not an issue, but I don't know if we have a quorum issue, if it's a huge conference, but anyway, just if you could let her know by Friday, that would be helpful. Okay. All right. Thank you three for doing that, and thank you everybody else for considering it. Do you have anything else before the agenda? That's it. All right. Thank you. For me, again, we have the Veterans Memorial Monument groundbreaking. The only other note that was added to this is that this will be noticed as a possible quorum. So just letting you know. It'd be helpful if you could RSVP to Pam Baker. And for me, I will be speaking at the Memorial Day ceremony at 11 o'clock here locally at one of our local cemeteries on Monday. And we'll be in the demolition derby on Sunday night. I was told I need to learn how to drive in reverse. And got a full day on Thursday this week, and I think that's pretty much it. The Monroe this week has got anything else really that is of interest in there. All right, let's go on over to Mr. Brazel. Mr. Brazel.
Thank you. Draft agenda for June 7th, 2016. Just to remind everybody that we're giving you the day off next week, so
thank you.
There is no meeting. Under public hearing, we'll be talking about transportation impact fees. We have the consent agenda. Under unfinished business, we have underage gathering regulations. Under new business, we have an ordinance discussing fireworks. Number two, under new business, we have an ordinance regarding the 2016 building code update. Number three, we'll be talking about a taxicab application we've received. Final action, we'll be talking about the amendments to council rules of procedure that we spoke of a week or so ago. And under council member reports, we have the Finance Human Resources Committee report. The long-term agenda, I've scratched in tentative for June 14th to talk about the downtown lighting again, if that works for Mr. Filbert.
Have one request for an addition somewhere on the extended agenda, and that is power outages in Monroe. We had another power outage that was pretty significant.
I forgot to, yeah.
What's that?
Is that I forgot to bring that up.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And Councilmember Gamble reached out to me on Saturday. He went ahead and contacted our PUD commissioner. The public utility district is managed by commissioners that are elected by the people, and he reached out to one of them and requested that this be put on one of our agendas just to talk about the power outages that have been occurring and so on. So we will look to putting that on an agenda maybe around the 28th of June. What are your thoughts, Councilmember?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Well, hopefully we'll get a response by then.
Yeah. So, does that work? Go ahead.
Just, thank you, Mayor. Just a clarification. So, you reached out. Have you heard back?
I just got the de facto response from somebody that works in the commissioner's office that said, thank you for reaching out. We'll be getting back with you.
Okay.
I posted even on the Facebook page just under, hey, this seems to be, and the response I got that was basically that a gust of wind hit a branch, but that makes no sense to me why it would knock out over half the town all the way up the Meadow Lake and over. I mean, I have a little bit of understanding on how the grid system works, and it just appears to me that something's not normal. It's just not.
Okay. I appreciate that. So we'll go ahead and rally in house here and try and get in touch with somebody and get somebody here potentially as a representative then.
Yeah, and if they've got, I mean, if something's going on, then it's an interim. At least we can speak, you know, we can speak to it. But there was a lot of businesses out, even comment. I got my hair cut this week. I know I don't have a lot, but I still do get it cut. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how they had to turn a bunch of customers away on Saturday. And then the other, I didn't even think about it. Yeah, it was my wife goes, oh my gosh, it's prom. And so you had kids run into the south end to try to find homes that were that had electricity. Anyway, it just, and it was, the wind was not blowing. So it really wasn't.
Understood. Thank you.
All right. Anything further? Okay, did you want to say anything about SCIT today? Sorry.
I did. I attended the SCIT meeting this morning in Everett. The majority of the discussion was regarding Sound Transit 3. They're going to send some representatives down to the Sound Transit board meeting on Thursday of this week to do some testifying. Essentially, they're just going to continue to try and ensure that if this moves forward, that it makes it to Everett and it makes it there sooner than later. So that's basically big picture of what we discussed. And there are also a lot of discussion on how they're going to set up the SCIT board in the future in regards to how much private representation they want versus public, and then what the board itself should actually look like, because it's been structured the same way for many years, as I understand it. So there's discussion about that, and that was it.
Okay. And I should add one more thing. Mr. Brazel and I met at 5 o'clock today with our lobbyist, with Brian Wall. So he's going to put together a schedule of the next items to occur. The He will be looking at helping to, or working with the legislative committee to put together the 2017 legislative priorities, and with the goal of having that before council for consideration of adoption in September, so that we can be in touch with our legislators at a more appropriate time than waiting for December or January. They will also be meeting with the Legislative Affairs Committee and potentially with council as a wider body about the different things that go on during the legislative session. So going over the reports that they provided us with this last legislative session and talking about what it means to sign in and how maybe they can be a little bit more effective with maybe calling in on the speakerphone and talking with the legislative committee once a week or every other week or so to keep the committee aware of what's going on. And so you can have a conversation with him rather than just getting things in writing and then having the committee come and brief the council, you know, that evening is sort of what the thoughts are. They will also be reaching out to talk about 522 with different entities, and we'll end up getting updates on how all that goes. So any questions? Okay. All right. Do we have anything else for this evening? Okay. There is no other business this evening. Mm-hmm. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening, and thank you for your service. We're adjourned.
Would you mind coming to look at this? I got a couple questions.